90.7 FM.
Next time you find yourself using a ride share, make it more interesting. Ask the driver to put on 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra Radio for open ears.
Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is a nonprofit organization based in Columbia County that organizes alongside immigrants and allies to collectively support, empower, and defend our communities. CCSM offers programs that assist newly arrived individuals, including food programs, mutual aid funds, legal support services, and opportunities to organize and be an activist. You can find more information on social media at CCSMNY or by calling 518-303-3848.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Wendy Schmaltz of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Meant to Ferment on WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. My name is Rebecca Echevarria, and I will be your host for this show. This show explores all things fermentation in the Hudson Valley through interviews with practitioners, along with a bit of music inspired by their work. But this particular show will be a little different, as it'll just be me sharing music, audio recordings, sound art, and very short excerpts from literature about the intersection of fermentation with revolt, rebellion, and transformation. The Oxford English Dictionary has several meanings assigned to the word ferment. It can refer to material substances that undergo the action of a ferment, to suffer fermentation, to work, or to work up into a ferment or agitation, to excite, stir up. As a mirror in this show, we will look at both the agitation and the transformation, the activation and the evolution, fermentation from all sides as a state of perhaps chaos, but also a period that belies a new kind of being, hopefully as an impetus towards collective revolution. And we will move through this with bacteria and yeast as the thread. One of my favorite books that I read this year that speaks to fermentation and resistance is called Deviant Matter by Keila Wazana Tompkins. Dr. Tompkins uses different states of matter like ferment, intoxicants, jelly, rot, to explore how the state manages a population's affective states or the sensory experiences of their everyday, and how this intent is aligned with aesthetics, even as it might deny it. She investigates how these states of matter become defined as deviant, since they defy categorical confines and resist against the state's goals for control, hygiene, and labor extraction, amongst other motivations. And this definition of deviance comes to extend to racialized or othered communities. There is also an emphasis on energy that I identified with. Sorry, just checking things on my end. So she speaks about how certain kinds of matter, like ferments, possess energetic abilities that go beyond the limitations of the thermodynamic model. And this kind of excess reflects the energetic capacities of a crowd that's vast, that's generative. In her introduction, she states, "For these reasons, ferment, intoxication, jelly, and rot recur as figures for the crowd, and its uncanny undoing of the boundedness of the atomic liberal self, its teeming energy, its unpredictable, simultaneously agential and agentless willfulness. I think staying with that kind of propensity for energy reflected through fermentation, as it might manifest in a crowd, really resonates with what we'll be exploring today. Another premise she introduces in her book is the potential of rot for transformation. She writes that it's a process that fertilizes the possibility of living otherwise. Speaking of the power of decay, in my research, I came across an amazing solo exhibition called The Inevitable and Acceptable by an artist named Chung Yeon Do in Busan, Korea, which took place in April of this past year. In this work, Jung looks at the similarities and the potential for transmutation between blues music and different forms of Korean fermentation, such as makgeolli, which is a rice-based alcohol, and meju, which are fermented soybeans. And they're sort of a foundational feature of Korean cuisine. In an article in the Korea Times about the exhibition, he says, "If everything in the world simply died and decayed, how bleak would that be? But sometimes, instead of rotting away, things come back through fermentation, reborn as alcohol with a tangy aroma. That revival, that transformation into a new kind of joy, is deeply compelling. And blues music, it's often about hardship and sorrow in an unforgiving reality. But told with humor, without losing heart, that kind of resilience moved me, so I began to connect the two." For this exhibition, he invited 5 musicians, each based in a different part of the world, to create their own musical variations bound by a shared tempo, bar structure, and chord progression. He put these performances into a single composition, and it became a counterpart to the ferments in the gallery. Here, we listen to a piece not featured in the exhibition, but it includes some of the musicians who took part in it, who are members of the Soul Ray Quartet. It's titled Soul Intro, An Absolute Introvert, from a live performance on March 6, 2025. as the Korea Times review of this exhibition states, sourdough rises to the slow sway of a saxophone sigh. And here we arrive by yeast with an artist that I am very inspired by, Umi Su. Umi is a trans non-binary sound artist and ethnomusicologist. Their experience practice is expansive, explores sound, memory, and migration, and is deeply rooted in their own experiences as an individual born in Taipei, who later moved to Virginia. This work spans sensory mediums and takes shape in performances, field recordings, ethnographic writing, songwriting, audio narratives, and oral histories. Umi graciously said that I could include an excerpt of their piece titled How to Grow a Movement on today's show. In their own words, How to Grow a Movement is a work in progress audio ethnography about critical yeast, based on participant observations of the more than human world through baking and fermentation experiments. This sound work investigates the quiet rising and multi-generational thinking behind social movements. I had never heard of the term critical yeast before, so I was very excited to learn more about it through this work. And I was also very excited to learn about the practice of the folks that Umi speaks to in this piece. I am very grateful to share an excerpt. Thank you so much, Umi.
I'm mixing the yeast and the water right now.
You're already doing that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Warm water. How warm, Kenny? How warm?
It's lukewarm, whatever that means.
Maybe a
coffee that's been sitting out for about 20 minutes.
It's the summer of 2025. The immigration crackdown began here in Los Angeles just a few weeks ago. Earlier this year, the wildfires burned down the neighborhoods just 9 miles north of where I live.
It's like when you're trying to get something moving, you need help.
This is my friend Kenneth Yates, an organizer based in Virginia. I call him Kenny. Mm-hmm.
And you want help.
Yeah.
And you want to share that responsibility. Like the yeast being the organizer in a situation, right? And also everybody that's involved. The flower being what the problem and the issue of the world is something that needs to be transformed. Mm. And the yeast needs a little warm water to get woken up, stretch, get out of that deep slumber we've all been in of sitting on the couch or scrolling on the internet.
I met Kenny almost 20 years ago in a coffee shop in downtown Richmond. At the time, he was hosting an open mixer night. He wanted to use experimental music to inspire anti-capitalist ideas among musicians and artists.
Okay, let's try that coffee that's been sitting out for about 20 minutes.
In this time of conflict, I've been thinking a lot about this idea of critical yeast, a term coined by John Paul Lederach, a professor and a practitioner of peace building. Critical yeast refers to the catalytic moment when a group of individuals come together to transform in a context of conflict. They are not necessarily like-minded or like-situated, but they can catalyze change. They can make things grow exponentially.
The small group of people having the will to want to participate and reach out to people and organize. Like, you don't need everybody to be like that, the starter or the organizer in that sense. Like, I think everybody should consider themselves an organizer, like, from the get-go. Like, you have that potential is there. That could look like a lot of different
things. I'm not a baker, but I knew that Kenny bakes. So I invited Kenny, among 8 other friends who were movement thinkers and doers, for a deep dive into this idea of critical yeast. Thinking about the process of peace while baking, and learning the everyday minutiae behind movement work, I want to meditate on just how to grow a movement. Do you hear it? This is the sound of yeast waking up.
Yeast, in addition to bread, acts as an agent of change to produce alcohol as well. In their metabolic processes, yeast transforms sugar into ethanol and carbon dioxide. Through that, we come to the sugar plantations of Puerto Rico, developed by the first invaders of the island, the Spanish colonists. Sugar is the heart of the rum industry in Puerto Rico, since molasses, a byproduct of the sugar refining process, was discovered to transform into rum when mixed with water and allowed to ferment in the sun. Sugar cultivation and processing are extremely labor-intensive. First, the indigenous population of the Taínos was enslaved to perform this work, and then later, the Spanish kidnapped and enslaved individuals from West and Central Africa. In this community, bomba, an ensemble music tradition of call and response singing, drumming on barrel-shaped drums, and dancing came about. As emotional expression, as spiritual significance, communication, subversive resistance, individuals in these communities often spoke different languages, so it was used to communicate and also plan rebellions. Plana is another song and dance tradition from Puerto Rico that was influenced by bomba and emerged later amongst the urban workers in coastal areas after the U.S. colonization began and still continues. It's a call and response, but has an emphasis on daily life and satire. So as each generation of Plana shares elements of their world, we have a tapestry of Puerto Rican experience in time through sound. Here, first we have a bomba song by Choco Horta y Chamier Bonano called De Bendazo from 2018. Then I have a short audio recording of a bomba dance lesson with my aunt Magda Echevarria, who was a prolific bomba dancer. And a bit of a plana song is featured in that, called Mi Maria Luisa by La Tribu Abrante. And it was when I came to the island for the Ponce Fermentation Festival. So enjoy.
En la negra Martina, que brinca por los palacios, cayó dentro de una olla, de bandazo entre las mallas.
De bandazo va ella, de bandazo, de bandazo anda ella, de bandazo.
Ay, que de bandazo, de bandazo, la negra Martina cayó en la malla, de bandazo.
De bandazo va ella, de bandazo, de bandazo.
No seas mala.
Okay.
Llévame contigo hasta la playa. María Luisa, don't be bad. Take me to the beach with you. And then he talks that she gets up early in the morning and she just leaves to go to the beach. And she goes to Loisa, she goes to Piñon, and she goes, he names all the beaches all around. It's so cute. Now, yeah. Because if you learn, let's just do the clap,
okay,
and then we'll do the beat.
Okay.
I'm
30
already.
It's okay. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's fine. I'm just going to Ponce.
Llévame contigo.
Just a reminder, you are listening to, or if you're just joining us, Meant to Ferment. I'm Rebecca Echeverria. This is a show of all things fermentation, and today we're exploring the intersections of fermentation with revolt, rebellion, and transformation. So next up, we have a kind of counterpart to alcohol, vinegar. If left exposed to oxygen, acetic acid bacteria might convert alcohol into acetic acid, which gives vinegar its sour and tart taste. Vinegar Hill was the site of one of the most critical battles of the Irish Rebellion of 1798. This rebellion sought to establish a free Irish Republic and aim to unite Irish people of all religious backgrounds. In this battle, English forces stormed the largest rebel camp and headquarters. Rebels were overwhelmed by the English, and thousands were killed and fled. It marked a turning point because it was a decisive rebel defeat that crushed Ireland's fight for liberation at that time, but it's still a site of remembrance and commemoration of Ireland's long road to freedom. I wanted to share a poem by Seamus Heaney called Requiem for the Croppies about this battle, but I wasn't able to secure copyright permission. The rebels were nicknamed Croppie Boys or Croppies because they were often farmers using their own tools as weapons. I'll include a link to it in my show notes if you're interested. But we do have a song by Lisa Gerard, a live performance of The Wind That Shakes the Barley, which is an Irish ballad that speaks to the 1798 rebellion.
I sat within the barley green, I sat me with my true love. I sad heart strove the two between the old love and the new love. The old for her, the new that made me think of Ireland. Shook the golden barley. 'Twas hard the woeful words to frame, to break the ties that bound us, and harder still to bear the shame of foreign chains around us. And so I said, the mountain glen I'll meet at morning early, and I'll join the bold united men. While soft winds shook the barley, 'twas said I kissed away her tears, my
fond arm round her flinging, when a full moon shuffle stung our ears, from out the wild woods ringing, a bullet pierced my true love's side in life's young spring so early, and on my breast in blood she died, while soft winds shook the barley. But blood for blood, without remorse, I've ta'en to her hollow. I've laid my true love's clay-like corpse, where I'll fall soon must follow. Round her grave I've wandered drear, in night and morning early, with breaking heart when the wind that shakes the barley.
Speaking of barley, barley is one of the oldest grains in the history of humanity. Archaeologists have found barley in the ancient Egyptian tombs dating back 7,000 years. It was used to make bread and beer. There's such a spectrum of bread in Egypt, and it's played a role in rebellions there as well, similar to other parts of the world. In the January 25th revolution of Egypt, the slogan was, in Arabic, bread, freedom, and social justice. But it was also part of the 1977 Bread Intifada in Egypt, or Bread Uprising. At that time, President Anwar al-Sadat made a decision towards economic austerity by canceling subsidies of several basic products, including bread. This meant an 100% increase on the price of bread. So when news broke on January 18, 1977, thousands took to the streets and their resistance was swift and intense. And in turn, the state responded violently. Dozens of students, artists, and workers were forcefully detained on that day. One of them was a leftist revolutionary and poet named Zain al-Abidin. He wrote a famous poem during his prison stint and smuggled it out to another revolutionary, who was a singer and composer named Sheikh Imam, who sang it to rally the people. Protests continued until January 19th, when the president canceled his previous decision. And even though the protests were successful, it led to a sort of government crackdown, and it became an ebb in the waves of leftism in Egypt. Or that's what I read in my research. But it's inspiring to think about how these forms of collective resistance came to be, especially in light of the ongoing injustice and harm enacted at this time. So here we have that song, sung by Sheikh Imam, called The Lovers Gathered. Enjoy.
العشاق في سجن القلعة اتجمعوا العشاق في باب القلب اتجمعوا العشاق في سجن القلعة اتجمعوا العشاق في باب القلب والشمتين والزنادل طالعة ومصرين ومطرعة في الحل اتجمعوا العشاق في الزنزانة مهما يطول السجن مهما القهر مهما يزيد الفجر بالسجانة مين اللي يقدر ساعة يحبس مصر جمعوا العشق نار في الدم نار تحرق الجول والدموع والهم اتجمعوا العشق نار في الدم نار تحرق الجوع والدموع والهم نار تشتعل لما الأدم ينضم لما الأيادي تطور تلم اللحم واللحم متنطور في رملة سينا والكد بيحجز على أيدينا واللحم متنطور في رملة سينا والكد بيحجز على أيدينا أدم العدو غنسة في لحم ترابي والكد عشش مخبرين على بابي أدم العدو غرسة في لحم ترابي والكد عشش مخبرين على بابي والمخبرين خارجين كلاب سعرانة بيجمعوا العشاق بالزندانة مهما يطول السجن مهما القهر مين اللي يقدر ساعة يحبس مصر اتجمعوا العشاق في سجن القلعة اتجمعوا العشاق في باب القلب والشمسين وهمي الزلازل طالعة ومصرين وهمي طالعة في الحل اتجمعوا العشاق في الزنزانة مهما يطول السجن مهما القهر مهما يزيد الفجر بالسجانة مين اللي يقدر ساعة مصر النهار يطلقنا في الميادين مصر البكا مصر الغنى والتين مصر النهار يطلقنا في الميادين مصر البكا مصر الغنى والتين مصر الشموس الهلة من زنادين مصر الشموس الهلة من زنادين هلا هلا ويطرح بدمينا بساتين مصر النهار يطلقنا في الميادين مصر البكا مصر الغنى والتين مصر النهار يطلقنا في الميادين مصر البكا مصر الغنى مصر الشموس الهلة من زنادين مصر الشموس الهلة من زنادين هلا ويطرحب تنبينا بسدين مصر الجناين طرحة من يدوب مصر الجناين للي يرفع فيه مصر الجناين طرحة من يدوب مصر الجناين للي يرفع فيه مصر الجناين طرحة من مصر الجناين طرحة من يكتوبها مصر الجناين اللي يرفع فيها مصر الجناين طرحة من يكتوبها مصر الجناين اللي يرفع فيها مصر الجناين طرحة من يكتوبها مصر الجناين اللي يرفع فيها مهما يطول السجن مهما القهر مهما يزيد الفجر بالسجانة مين اللي يقدر ساعة يحبس مصر
And finally, we are left with lactic acid bacteria. Lactic acid bacteria live on the peels of vegetables and in the ambient environment. When making pickles, if you create an anaerobic and saline environment, lactic acid bacteria will eat the naturally occurring sugars in the vegetables and transform them into lactic acid, which sours the brine and ensures pickles can be preserved for the future. In my research for this show, I came across an article called When Pickles Become a Weapon, Economy of the First Intifada, published by the Palestine Museum. The First Intifada was an act of sustained resistance against the still ongoing genocide and occupation perpetrated against the people of Palestine by the State of Israel. It was from 1987 to 1993. During this time, one of the initiatives developed by the Union of Palestinian Women's Committee were cooperatives, such as the Sa'ir Cooperative Project. They engaged in the processing of agricultural goods, commonly preserving seasonal food, so production was aligned to the agricultural season during the grape harvest, making grape products, plum harvest, making jams, and in winter, having an abundance of citrus. Cooperatives spread through the occupied territories as a mechanism of economic resistance and a tool towards resilience and self-sufficiency. At the time of the First Intifada, over 40% of the Palestinian workforce worked in Israel daily. And so the uprising changed Palestinian consumption and production patterns as they boycotted the enemy's goods. The economic blockade and cessation of Palestinian laborers occurred, so there was also a decline of income, and individuals were looking for ways to work and produce food. Dozens of cooperatives of this type formed in the West Bank and Gaza. Individuals who worked in them became prime targets for arrest. In the article, they interview one of the cooperative's members, Ms. Lemia Shalalda. She states that this activity was multidimensional, as there was a sense that this cooperative was part of the Palestinian national struggle. So in light of this form of rebellion and the ongoing resistance of the Palestinian people, we have a song called Revolt, Revolt from the Land Day compilation by the Palestinian Sound Archive. As they write, every year on March 30th, Palestinians commemorate Land Day, marking when 6 Palestinian civilians were killed and over 100 injured in 1976. While protesting against land expropriation across the Galilee. This compilation features a number of artists, some of whom were assassinated for their role in bringing this music to light. And some of the artists remain anonymous and honor their so they're honoring their request to avoid being targeted, while others are unknown. So let's listen. Thank you. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that the energy of fermentation and resistance permeates out. I'll be back on January 5th, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. with more fermentation to explore and learn. Thanks so much.
It's only an illusion.